Ironhead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 17th of May, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Richard spoke on faith in action. The reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to Ironhead Baptist Church. Welcome to our virtual 10 o'clock Sunday service. Welcome, whether you've been with us every week as we've been doing these services, or welcome, whether you've discovered us for the very first time this morning. Welcome, whether you would call NBC your church home or not. You are welcome no matter what this morning as part of the church family here. You should have for today two things. Firstly, if you're on our mailing list, you would have received our service sheet for today with the worship songs we'll use this morning. If you didn't get that and you'd like to get that, please let the church office know. And secondly, you should have received a notice sheet. And notices for today are as per the sheet, just to draw your attention to the fact there are a couple of new bits of notices there. That is to say, some new information about giving in this Christian Aid Week. And then a flowering pressing competition that Catherine Wilson is going to run for us. You'll find details of that and of phone numbers, etc., on the sheet. Lastly, but not least, to remind you that weekly we have virtual Bible study groups that meet on Wednesday evening and a virtual coffee morning, as well as daily prayers at 10 o'clock. You're welcome to join us as often throughout the week as you can. And we recognise in these exceptional circumstances how we can just be family together. But however you're feeling this morning, whether you feel on top of the mountain or in the depths of the valley, you are among friends and you are welcome. And we invite you to join us this morning as we continue to trust in his timing, to rely on his promises, to wait for his answers, to believe in his miracles, to rejoice in his goodness, and to relax in his presence. Because all of those things together are how we draw near to God. And friends, this morning we accept that God wants to draw near to us too. So draw near to him, let him draw near to you as we worship together, as we join Roy and Jenny as they leave us in a song that states with positive affirmation the reality that we believe in God the Father. Friends, it's an amazing privilege as a pastor of a church to be able to speak to many of you on the phone in these times or via email link or Facebook about what God's up to in your life. In the midst of this pandemic, in the reality of not being able to meet together, what is God up to? It's been amazing to see how many of you have spoken of how God is building your faith at this time rather than it being destroyed or bent out of shape by the enemy. And it is therefore right and proper that today we begin our prayers affirming what we've just sung. We have worshipped with our voices and sung to our living Lord. And now we affirm what we've sung in prayer as a recognition that he is on the march at this time, that he's building faith. Let's pray, friends. Father God, we acknowledge before all humanity that we believe you are Father God, that you are the one that made this universe, that you are the one that shaped it and molded it. We believe that you are the one that is the solution to the issues of our universe and of this world. And we pray that in this time, we may effectively demonstrate to our friends and neighbours, wherever we are, that we believe in the one that is the solution. And we believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, saved us. But more than that, that we believe in Christ who rose victorious and lives. We believe that his resurrection heralds our resurrection. And we believe Jesus is Lord of all, whose name is above all names. We believe, Father God, that through the amazing gift of your Son, he promised to send the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. A promise we can rely on, so that his church that bears his name would be filled with gifts of power. And we believe that we in this moment are not weak or downtrodden, but powerful and strong. Not because of ourselves, but because of you. Not for our sake, but for your glory. And we believe that in your Son we have word-affirming truth that has global, national, local consequences. That you send us by your Spirit, even by the means of the virtual service, to speak to the nation, to speak to our locality, to remind the world that he will come again, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So we come this morning in our weakness and our unknowingness, Lord, to stand once again on the truth that we believe. And as we stand on that truth, as we say, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be glorified and honoured in our prayers, and that you would move us in faith to declare Jesus is the name above all names. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, we have an amazing person here, amazing, I was going to say young man, leave you to decide that, who actually is an amazing advocate for our youth and children and comes Sunday by Sunday and gives us something new and refreshing. So if you're under about the age of 100, shall we say, I encourage you to listen to Mark as he brings something for our young people, and I think everybody's included in that bracket too.
Good morning, everybody. It is really, really good to be here again on this wonderful Sunday morning. Are you all ready? Those youngsters at school in years R, 1 and 6, we might be going back to work, back to school in 2 weeks. Make the most of your extra 2 weeks, all right? We might be back, all right? Right. And I say that about going back to school because I don't know about you, but there's lots of things I don't understand. I know you're looking at me and thinking, intelligent looking man, how come Mark doesn't understand everything? Well, there's lots of things I just don't understand how they work. And going to school helps me. And I'm just going to find a few things out of a bag and say these things. Now, CDs. I don't know how a CD works. Now, a lot of you youngsters are going, what's a CD? All right, don't we just download them, okay? But no, we used to have CDs, and I've no idea how a CD works, right? I look it, I can open it up, and there's no songs in there. There's nothing jumps out of this little silver disc, and yet when I put it into a player, music comes out. Beautiful music, sometimes. But I don't know how it works. I don't understand, right, how he did it. But God puts a song on my heart. When I'm sad, there's a song in there to cheer me up. When I'm happy, there's a song to praise him. I don't understand how God does it or did it, but he does. There's always songs in my heart. And there's another thing I don't understand. Telephones. How do they work? How can it that I just put a few little numbers in and I can talk to me mum who's in Birmingham? How does that work? Not only talk to her, if I press the right buttons, I can look at her. How does that work? I have got no idea, but it does. And I don't understand prayer. I don't understand how I can talk to God who is in heaven and he can talk to me. I don't understand it, but I know he does. And I know it works. And then there's another thing I don't understand. Medicine. Who understands medicine? I quite often get a headache, right? And I can take a little tablet, and I can take the tablet, and that tablet knows where the pain is. And it shoots up, and it takes the pain away. I have no idea how that tablet knows where to go. Because if I've got a pain in my leg, I can take the same tablet, and the tablet gets to the pain, and it goes away. How does that work? No idea. But it does. And I don't understand how God can heal the deepest hurt, right, in my life and the deepest pain in my life. I don't know how he does it, but he does. Calculators. How does that work? This is not my calculator. This is Ellie's calculator. How do calculators work? I can press... Oh, my goodness. I have no idea how that one works. Have you seen the numbers on that? My goodness. Right? No idea how it works. I press different buttons and it gives me the answers to problems. How does it work? I don't understand it. But I know that in the darkest days, the times when I'm feeling really low, God answers all my problems. God answers the problems of my life. Don't understand it, but he does. I've still got a couple more. I hope you don't mind. But I'm really fascinated by this, how these things don't work. Torch. How do torches work? Now, I know they're quite simple. You have a battery, bit of power, put it in, lights up the bulb, and that's work. I don't really understand how it works. But it does. Not this one, but it does. I don't understand how, but I know that God is my light. God is a light in the way, in the things that I do and in my life. He shines and leads me through things. Don't understand how, but he does. I've got one more. I'm going to have to go on the stage for this, so you might just get my legs, but we'll see how it works. I've got a tin, a normal tin, nothing special. And if I stand on this tin, this small tin of potatoes, right, if I do it carefully, it can take my weight. Look at that. But if I put it this way, and I just push in, I can leave a dent so simply in the tin. I don't know how that works. I don't know why I can stand on the top in one way, but I can push and it dents in the other. I don't know how God is my strength, how strong God is. I have no idea how he does it, but he does. And I think that's what faith is. We don't have to understand how God helps us. We don't have to understand why God helps us. We just have to believe he does. We don't have to get confused or all those things of thinking, why? Don't have to do that. We just have to believe. I have no idea how a phone works, but it does. I have no idea why or how God helps and supports me and loves me, but he does. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are my strength, you are my light, you are the solver of my problems. I don't know why and I don't know how, but Lord, I thank you that there is a song in my heart that means you do. Amen. Have a really good week, everybody. Okay? Well, I think we're going to sing another song now with Roy and Jenny. And this one is going to be... better? There is a higher throne. Okay? Over to Roy and Jenny.
Now we have our reading, which has been done for us by Jan, who works for the Active Living Centre. So it's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 16.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated for him. For before his translation he had his testimony, that he pleased God. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I think we had a few crossed wires somewhere there, so I'll just finish off that reading for you. So from verse 7 to 16. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. So this is, I think, probably a fairly well-known passage. My commentary seemed to think so, which is never always a clear indication whether it is or not, but seemed to think it was. And it gives us some idea of what faith allows us to achieve and become. The author goes on to list some of the best-known figures from the Old Testament and the ways in which their faith blessed them and what their faith meant to them. So first, though, the author seeks to show what sort of faith is required. Set out in the opening verses of this chapter, faith requires us to accept God's word. Verse 1 tells us that we require confidence in things we do not see. There is a sense here that we must look towards the future of things hoped for, realizing that there is more to life than the present, and that we are promised greater things in the future. And we must look to see what God has in store for us. It was through this faith that the great men of the Old Testament gained this commendation from God. And that is the commendation that we should require or desire. Commendation not from man, but from God. And from this faith, God will express his pleasure. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the bags of gold, where servants are entrusted with gold while their master travels. And they're encouraged to multiply it. And if you are familiar with the story, you will know that one of them doubles it, the other gets a bit more, and one hides it away and gets no more. And the one who had doubled it, in verse 21 of Matthew 25, we see the result of being faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So if we have faith, we must recognize that as part of God's power, seen here in verse 3, where God creates the universe, that all things are possible to God. And then we come to the part of the chapter that one 17th century writer described as a little book of martyrs, perhaps drawing on the famous book of martyrs from the Elizabethan era, showing those people who had given so much for God. And yet it also recognizes that all of the men mentioned were sinners, but who were able to do great things through the grace of God. These were not perfect men, and yet still God blessed them. So then we start with one of the first people in the Bible, Abel. He famously gave an offering to God that was found to be more acceptable than that offered by his brother Cain. And what was it that made it so? It was a sincere offering, that in his heart Abel wanted to give his offering to the Lord. He gave it freely and willingly. So I suppose then, if we are to use Abel as an example, a question for ourselves: is what we offer to the Lord sincere? Do we willingly give everything to the Lord? And are our outward signs of commitment mirrored in our hearts? Does our whole being want to give to the Lord? The writer then moves on to Enoch, possibly the least known of the figures we see here. I think genuinely I was first made aware of his existence on QI, the TV show, which was a few years ago, so, you know, we'll claim the innocence of youth. But he was honoured by God in a way that no one else was, in a way that is quite staggering, really. He was taken up from earth so that he should not see death. Enoch lived his life in such a way that God saw that his faith was so great that he should not have to face death. It's not to say that Enoch always took this way. In Genesis, it tells us that only after the birth of his son Methuselah did he turn to the Lord. To be a true follower of Christ, then, is to live daily with God and walk with him. Enoch sought the Lord in all he did. A challenge perhaps to us, perhaps to look at how we see faith and what it means to us. Is it just a Sunday and maybe an evening a week when you have a fellowship group? Or whether it is a lifelong commitment that is entwined with every aspect of our lives. In some ways, it's quite easy for me to say this. I'm a minister. I'm actually paid to do that. But is it there? Enoch depended on God in a way that seems to be difficult for us in an age where there is so much around us that seems to be offering that help that we might need. And yet we still must recognize that it is from God that all this comes. And then we come to Noah. A character in the Bible who seems to have been able to trust God with these portents of doom, even through hostility from those around him. He's a shining example of the ideal person set out at the start of the chapter. Accepting God's word, he won God's approval and recognized God's power. Noah followed God's commands. He heard and he did what he had been told to do. Noah took what may well have felt like quite a big risk. He spent years of his life building an ark, making himself an exile to the people around him of the day, who could not understand what he was doing. You have to wonder what the church would look like if we were able to follow in Noah's steps, to hear from God and then act on it immediately. We are perhaps slightly blessed, being Baptists, that we are a bit freer. Doesn't have to go through 300 committees and all that sort of stuff that can hamper some other churches. But what would the church look like if, instead of saying, yes, I hear you, God. But I don't think now is just the right time to do it. Or even just ignoring him and pushing it aside. We have an opportunity to think what church looks like. We've discussed it repeatedly, I think, in this period of lockdown. And there is a real sense that we are being called to think about how we do church. I know the ministry team here at NBC, we spend a lot of time thinking about how we do church. In particularly, I mean, obviously, right now, but going forward. And I want to give us a challenge. Let's learn from Noah and accept those commands from the Lord. Accept what we have been asked to do. And it might be uncomfortable, and we might become exiles, hopefully not. But we might well be seen to be different. And through our obedience, let's act as witnesses to those around us. By being seen to be following the will of God, we can be seen to be separate. There is something different about a Christian following God's will. I'm sure many of us can think of examples of people we know who just seem to be so godly, so in tune with the Lord, that radiate the goodness of God. Let's try and emulate them, so that we too can be a witness to our community. The writer then moves on to Abraham, one of the pivotal figures in the Old Testament. A man who upsticks and moves to a different country because God told him to. Calvin wrote, with regards to Abraham's faith, that he did nothing that was not by the command of God. This is surely one of the principles of faith, that we do not move a step unless the word of God shows us the way and shines before us like a lantern. It is quite a challenge, I think, to rely on God, and that God has a plan. Abraham did as God commanded, and yet it was not an easy faith. He left his father's house to go out into the great unknown, sacrificing the security that he had known and placing everything into God's hands, relying on him utterly. And what did God do but provide for him? There is an encouragement here that even as we do not know what the future holds, even as Mark says, whether schools go back in 2 weeks' time, or parts of schools go back in 2 weeks' time, we know that God is here for us. And if we rely on him, our trust and faith will not be misplaced. Abraham had a courageous faith that allowed him to step out boldly to receive his inheritance. The challenge from Abraham, let us have that same courage to step out and take that first step into the unknown, recognizing that God is with us. These great figures of the Old Testament had a confidence in the hope that was promised. They were promised the Messiah. But how much greater an advantage do we have? Knowing that Jesus really did come and die for us. We have the sign of it behind me, the cross. The hope that was promised and has come. But what strength must these men have had to hold fast to the Lord in a promise that in many, some of their cases was thousands of years, in fact all of their cases was at least 1,000 years away, if not more. But they'd all worked out what God was asking them to do and recognised that what God had to offer is greater than any earthly thing. There is a confidence that these figures held that is awe-inspiring. They were willing to be exiles and to follow the leadings of their Lord. Stepping out in confidence, secure in the knowledge that they had recognized what God was calling them to. All possible because of the faith they had in him. A faith that had the capacity to transform their own lives, but also the lives of those around them. They had a faith that accepted God's word. They had God's approval for their actions and recognized God's power as the maker of all. There is a faith that if only we could emulate would set us on a path that leads us we know not where. But has the potential to have a transformational impact on ourselves and those we come into contact with and the whole world. The challenge then to be courageous and reliant on God, recognizing that through him all things are possible. Amen. We now have our final song from Roy and Jenny, which is "If Faith Can Move the Mountains." So now we come to the end of the service. Just a reminder that we have our Zoom Bible study on a Wednesday evening. If you'd like to know how to join, get in touch with the church office. And also a coffee morning on Thursday as well. And prayers, of course, every day during the week. So thank you for joining us, and I'll leave you now with a blessing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.